You're listening to episode 57 of the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast. The Christian Research Journal Reads podcast presents audio versions of Christian Research Journal articles. The Star of Bethlehem, Light from Heaven by T. Michael Davis. This article was first published in the print edition of the Christian Research Journal, Volume 30, Number 7, in 2007. You can read the full article, along with its documentation footnotes, at equip.org. That's EQUIP.org. The Star of Bethlehem, Light from Heaven, by T. Michael Davis. Synopsis. Matthew, in his gospel account of the life of Christ, recorded the appearance of a star that guided Magi to Bethlehem so that they may pay tribute to the newborn king of the Jews. Through the years, there have been many hypothetical explanations, whether natural, astronomical, or astrological, of the nature and behavior of this so-called Star of Bethlehem. The appearance could have been a new bright star or comet or the movements of the planets relative to each other, the sun and the moon. Perhaps what the Magi saw was a nova or supernova bright enough to qualify as a real star, as we know them today, with astronomical and historical significance. A comet might have moved over a few months' time from one constellation to another more southerly constellation. It is possible that major planets could have come into close proximity with each other, appearing as one, which would have created significant interest in professional observers of the night sky. Any one of these natural occurrences would have been noteworthy, and God certainly could have used them in his divine plan to announce to the world the birth of his son and to guide a select group of astronomers to be his first worshipers. It is possible, however, to follow Matthew's account of the star from a more supernatural viewpoint, consistent with the biblical record and with the supernatural character of the event to which the star pointed, and in doing so, realize that the Magi were led to Bethlehem not by light from space, but by light from heaven. Matthew's gospel records certain events that accompanied the birth of Jesus Christ. In his account alone is a record of the appearance of the, quote, Star of Bethlehem, end quote, and the coming of the, quote, wise men, end quote, from the east, guided by the star to the newborn king of the Jews. Wise men, or magi, came to Jerusalem seeking the king of the Jews. They were from the east, Matthew 2:1, men who lived in a region of the world that was east of Jerusalem. Consequently, they traveled westward. The guidance that was given to them took them from their eastern location to a destination west of their point of departure, not just in a general westerly direction, but to a specific location, the city of Jerusalem. Any hypothesis of the Star of Bethlehem must be able to explain how these men could be guided on a westward journey and how that guidance could be maintained over a fairly long period of time. Some who adhere to a supernatural explanation, as we shall see, place the guiding star in the west, stationary over Jerusalem, leading the Magi in their journey. From this perspective, the Magi, while in the east, saw the star in the west and followed it. In my view, not only were the Magi guided westward by the star, they received their guidance while the star remained, quote, in the east, end quote, Matthew 2:2. That is, the star, while in the east, guided them toward a destination in the west. Both views, of course, agree on this. The event was a supernatural one. Some have tried to harmonize Matthew's account with naturally occurring astronomical phenomenon by limiting the Magi's observation of the star in the east to occur only at its rising and not continually. Michael Molnar has speculated that, quote, in the east, end quote, could be an astronomical term meaning, quote, at the heliacal rising, end quote, or, quote, at the morning appearance, end quote, of a planet. Matthew, however, is not an astronomer who is using technical language. He is a tax collector turned disciple and gospel writer who is using a simple term that is familiar to his readers to refer to where from the Magi were from and where the star was. The wise men arrived in Jerusalem. My assumption, consistent with Matthew's record of a later appearance, Matthew 2:9, is that the star disappeared. Herod secretly questioned the Magi as to the time the star appeared, Matthew 2:7. Herod and others in Jerusalem had not seen the star at all and had to ask the Magi when they had seen the star, not because he and his advisors simply had missed some natural yet rare astronomical phenomenon, or at least missed its importance, but because he could not see the star, nor could anyone else except the Magi. Herod had an evil motive, see Matthew 2:12 through 18, and told the Magi that they should go to Bethlehem to find the object of their search. The end of the journey was near, only a few miles to the south, but they needed more specific guidance, not just to a town, but to the house where the king of the Jews awaited them. The Magi started on the last leg of their journey, heading southward toward Bethlehem, quote, and lo, the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over where the child was, end quote, Matthew 2:9. Matthew records a sense of astonishment, lo, or behold, when they saw the star again, the same star they had seen before in the east. The star not only had disappeared and then reappeared, it had also moved to a stationary place over a specific house in Bethlehem. If previous behaviors of the star are difficult to harmonize with natural astronomical phenomenon, this one surely challenges all attempts at such an explanation. This was truly a unique and miraculous occurrence. It was, quote, his star, end quote, Matthew 2:2. And its purpose was to bring the wise men from the east westward to Jerusalem and southward to a house in Bethlehem where the child was, Matthew 2:9, and where they would fall down and worship him, Matthew 2:11. What astronomy has to say? Ernest L. Martin believed that, quote, the star of Bethlehem can be explained in a thoroughly natural way, end quote. Others have thought so too. Johannes Kepler, a 17th century astronomer, believed that the star could have been a supernova. A nova, Latin for new, is a star that has suddenly increased in brightness and therefore appears to be a new star in the night sky. It is, however, not a new star at all, but a long-lived star that is in the process of changing and maybe even dying. It is new only to earthly observers. The word supernova describes a star that grows in visibility to a much greater degree and for different reasons. Both supernovas and novas will, of course, remain in their fixed positions on the celestial sphere and thereby rotate daily from east to west with the rest of the stars. Others have proposed a more transient phenomenon, a comet. A comet is a, quote, dirty snowball, end quote, orbiting the sun, usually in a highly elliptical orbit. As it nears the sun, solar radiation vaporizes gases and particles of dirt from the comet. These flow away from the comet nucleus, forming a head, or coma, and a tail that grows in length and brightness as the comet approaches the sun and then decreases as it recedes. Colin Humphreys has argued that the star of Bethlehem was a comet that was, quote, visible in 5 BC and described in ancient Chinese records, end quote. His explanation involves the occurrence of conjunctions. A conjunction of planets occurs when two or more planets, in their individual paths across the Earth's sky, come into close proximity, sometimes, though very rarely, close enough that they almost seem to merge into a single bright object. His argument depends on several factors. 1, the Magi's ability to decipher the theological significance of repeated conjunctions of Jupiter and Saturn in 7 BC, a conjunction of Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn in Pisces in 6 BC, and finally, the appearance of a comet in the constellation Capricornus in 5 BC. 2, their association of the constellation Pisces with Israel, and 3, their grasp of the supposed allusion of the prophet Daniel by the constellations Capricornus and Aries, Daniel 8:5-21. Quote, thoroughly natural, end quote, explanations like those of Martin, Molnar, and Humphreys often involve complicated movements of planets that may involve a conjunction of planets or the movement of a planet behind the sun or the moon, an occultation. Roger Sinnott described a close conjunction of Venus and Jupiter that occurred on the evening of June 17, 2 BC, in the constellation of Leo the Lion. Martin and Craig Chester have endorsed and expanded on this, quote, great celestial dance, end quote, correlating other lesser conjunctions, eclipses, full moons, and planetary retrograde loops with historical events. Michael Molnar believes that, quote, the answer to our questions about the Star of Bethlehem lie in the philosophical and religious practices of the people who interpreted celestial events as portents, end quote. The conclusion from his extensive research is that April 17, 6 BC was the date of the birth of Christ. He writes, quote, any horoscope drawn for April 17, 6 BC must have been regal because the sun, the moon, Jupiter, and Saturn are all in the sign of Aries, conditions which perfectly and simultaneously fulfill the major regal principles of Greek astrology. And amazingly, Jupiter, the Magi star, was heliacally rising in the east in a close conjunction, occultation, with the moon, which gave even more regal significance to that day. What Christian commentaries have to say? Christian commentators generally come to one of three conclusions regarding the Star of Bethlehem. 1, a few ignore the question of the nature and behavior of the star altogether. 2, some accept a naturalistic explanation. And 3, some say the explanation is supernatural and miraculous, but leave it at that. The handful of commentators who make no attempt whatsoever to explain the star or to offer an opinion about it believe that it is unnecessary to identify the actual star, confess a lack of interest in the question, or declare their belief that it does not matter. Choosing not to dwell on these questions, Charles Spurgeon, for example, declared that they, quote, are not of much importance to us, end quote. Some commentators, while accepting all the other miraculous aspects of the birth of Christ, prefer a more natural and scientific explanation of the star, such as, quote, the testimony of the scriptures is supported by the testimony of nature, end quote. Origen, 3rd century AD, considered the star, quote, to have been a new star, unlike any of the other well-known planetary bodies, either those in the firmament above or those among the lower orbs, but partaking of the nature of those celestial bodies which appear at times, such as comets or meteors, end quote. Spurgeon pronounced the star, quote, an unusual luminary, end quote, and offered the explanation that it, quote, was probably a meteor or moving light, which having shone long enough in the western heavens to guide them to Judea, then ceased to be visible, but shone forth again as they quitted Jerusalem, end quote. Joseph Addison Alexander wrote of the planetary conjunction hypothesis, quote, This astronomical solution is, from its scientific character and from the high authority on which it rests, more satisfactory than the assumption of a transient meteor or comet or a purely miraculous appearance, which would here be less impressive than a natural phenomenon coincident with such a juncture in the moral world, and showing both to be under the same infinitely powerful and wise control, end quote. Donald Hagner agreed that the star, quote, may well be a natural astronomical phenomenon, end quote. However, what he accepted as a natural occurrence at the beginning of the story, the appearance of the star, became for him only a myth later, the reappearance of the star, quote, this verse, Matthew 2:9, makes difficult the explanation of the star as a strictly natural astronomical phenomenon. If the natural explanation of the star is accepted nevertheless, then the present verse must be understood either as a touch of romantic myth growing out of the historical kernel, or else as referring to something actually experienced by the Magi and interpreted in terms of the leitmotif of the star that first led them from the east to Jerusalem, end quote. A few other writers incorporate elements of both the natural and the miraculous in their comments, but in the end offer no real explanation. Quote, a remarkable astrological phenomenon, end quote. Quote, this unusual stellar manifestation, end quote. Quote, a new phenomenon in the sky, end quote. Quote, I am inclined to think that Matthew is depicting a miraculous star, a Wunderstern, that took on a natural star's form, end quote. The opinion of Ignatius, 2nd century AD, was that, quote, a star shone forth in the heaven above all the other stars, the light of which was inexpressible, while its novelty struck men with astonishment. And all the rest of the stars with the sun and moon formed a chorus to this star, and its light was exceedingly great above them all. And there was agitation felt as to whence this new spectacle came, so unlike everything else in the heavens, end quote. Calvin believed that, quote, it was not a natural star, but extraordinary, for it was not of the order of nature. None of this accords with natural stars. It is more probable that it was like a comet, seen in the atmosphere rather than in the heaven, end quote. Most Christian commentators clearly support a supernatural approach, and most of those writers are content to declare the event miraculous without further comment. Quote, it was a miracle, end quote. Quote, a special sign, a miraculous star, end quote. Quote, an unusual star, supernatural rather than natural, end quote. Quote, a miracle, a special light in the sky, end quote. Quote, the strange star, a supernatural phenomena, end quote. Charles Erdman declared the star to be, quote, some sign in the heaven. It seems probable that the guidance was supernatural, something like a star in appearance, but near the earth, may have been granted to lead those travelers to their sacred goal, end quote. R. C. H. Lenski wrote, quote, it ought to be plain that this was not a star such as others that our astronomers observe and study. What these magi saw was a startling phenomenon, a miraculous phenomenon, end quote. Reflecting on Matthew 2:9 and the reappearance of the star, Craig Blomberg concluded, quote, but regardless of how much the star had traveled, its motion here seems to require a supernatural event. Various attempts to link the star with different astronomical phenomenon, especially for purposes of dating, prove interesting, but are probably irrelevant, end quote. The opinion of John Broaddus was this, quote, taking Matthew's language according to its obvious import, we have to set aside the above natural explanations and to regard the appearance as miraculous. Conjecture as to its nature will then be to no profit. The supernatural is easily admitted here, since there were so many miracles connected with the Savior's birth, end quote. David Hill and Ed Glasscock caution their readers against any attempt at all at natural explanation. Hill declared, quote, "The patently miraculous character of the star in the narrative makes it gratuitous to seek a material explanation of it from astronomical science," end quote. Glasscock stated, quote, "Attempts to associate this star with certain conjunctions of the planets or other natural astronomical phenomena are unnecessary and unprofitable. There is no need to try to justify Matthew's account with human reasoning, because none of the explanations could offer more credibility to the account. In reality, any attempt to explain the event by natural phenomena becomes derogatory rather than honoring to God," end quote. Spurgeon came closest to a supernatural explanation based on additional biblical evidence. Quote, "It must have been a star occupying quite another sphere from that in which the planets revolve. We believe it to have been a luminous appearance in midair, probably akin to that which led the children of Israel through the wilderness, which was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night," end quote. John MacArthur and James Montgomery Boyce agreed. The star was, quote, "surely the glory of God, blazing as if it were an extremely bright star, visible only to the eyes for whom it was intended to be seen," end quote. Quote, "a miraculous phenomenon, possibly an appearance of the Shekinah glory," end quote. What the Bible suggests, light from heaven. Let me now offer a different hypothesis of the star as a supernatural event. I propose that it was a source of light in the sky, as they are naturally occurring astronomical objects, but that this was a different kind of source, emitting a different kind of light. My fundamental premise is this: the star was an opening in the supernatural, other-dimensional boundary that separates heaven and earth. It was a tear in the fabric of heaven. God made an opening so that the light of heaven shone on the earth. This was, I believe, the Star of Bethlehem, and it was a heavenly light that guided the Magi. This proposal of an opening of heaven is consistent with other biblical accounts. When Jesus was baptized, heaven was opened. Matthew 3:16, Mark 1:10, Luke 3:21. When Saul met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus, quote, "suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him," end quote, Acts 9:3. On special occasions, then, God has opened heaven and sent light from heaven to earth. This special opening in the earth-heaven boundary would have appeared in the sky either to the west or to the east of the initial location of the Magi. Since this source of light was not connected in any natural way to the celestial sphere, along with the sun, moon, stars, planets, and comets, it could remain stationary with respect to the earth. All the naturally occurring astronomical objects rise in the east and set in the west from day to day, and they drift on the celestial sphere over longer periods of time. The Star of Bethlehem, however, stayed just above the western horizon, beckoning the Magi to Jerusalem, or behind them on the eastern horizon throughout their journey. In either case, they saw this star in a fixed location in the sky. There it appeared, and there it stood. This opening in heaven, God's abode, would not have been visible to other earthly observers. Herod had not seen it. The opening would have been near the wise men, low in the sky, emitting the light from heaven, not in all directions as a natural star does, but in a well-defined, narrow beam, much like today's lasers. Exactly how this light provided guidance depends on where one locates the star and the Magi. Some place the Magi in the east and the star in the west. Quote, "the Magi and not the star were in the east and followed the star in the western sky," end quote. In this view, the heavenly opening is in front of the wise men. They observe this unusual phenomenon, that is, light from a star that remains stationary in the west, and follow it to Jerusalem, much as they followed this same star as it went on before them to Bethlehem in the south. Some place the Magi in the east, and the star in the east, quote, "We have seen his star in the east," end quote. If this was the case, then the light from heaven, shining from behind the Magi, would have served as a source of illumination on their path westward. Consequently, this opening in heaven's fabric is in a fixed location in the eastern sky, and the light is shining on or in front of the Magi, much as it did on Paul when the light flashed, quote, "all around him," end quote. Isaiah prophesied, quote, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them," end quote, Isaiah 9, 2, as he foresaw the birth of the Prince of Peace, 9, 6. Matthew saw the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy in Jesus' coming and preaching in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. See Isaiah 9, 1 through 2, Matthew 4, 12 through 17. Jesus is the light to the Gentiles. In him is the prophecy fulfilled. I think Isaiah's words may also invite a literal reading of light shining on some future God-seekers. They lived, quote, "in a spiritually dark land," end quote, and saw, quote, "a great heavenly light," end quote, which shone, quote, on them, end quote. And it guided them to the, quote, "child who would be born," end quote. The illumination was sufficient for them to travel at night or during the day, and it brought the wise travelers finally to the western limit of their journey, Jerusalem. At that time, according to this scenario, the opening in heaven was closed. The star disappeared. God waited as the wise men met with Herod and received further directions to turn southward toward Bethlehem. The directions were accurate and true to Scripture, but God was not going to leave the Magi without his supernatural guidance and confirmation. As the wise men turned toward the south to continue their search for the King of the Jews, quote, "Lo, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them," end quote. Matthew 2, 9. The source of heavenly illumination opened to their south over Bethlehem, and the light from heaven beckoned the Magi to their final destination. The wise men followed the star as it moved before them, quote, "until it came and stood over where the child was," end quote. Matthew 2, 9. Whether by positioning the heavenly opening over the house and in the line of the sight of the Magi, or by illuminating the house itself with light from heaven, God guided the wise men to their final destination. They did what they came to do and departed. The openings in the heavenly fabric did what it was meant to do, then closed. How this new approach helps us. The Star of Bethlehem was, I believe, a supernatural event, and its nature and behavior can be explained reasonably using a consistently biblical approach. John Chrysostom, 4th century AD, was right, quote, "For if ye can learn what the star was, and of what kind, and whether it were one of the common stars, or new and unlike the rest, and whether it was a star by nature, or a star in appearance only, we shall easily know the other things also. Whence then will these points be manifest? From the very things that are written. Thus, that this star was not of the common sort, or rather not a star at all, it seems at least to me, but some invisible power transformed into this appearance, is in the first place evident from its very course. For there is not, There is not any star that moves by this way. It was some power highly endued with reason. End quote. In the end, by adopting this light from heaven approach, I have not denied the importance and reliability of good science. We have simply said that astronomy or astrology is not a necessary factor in the interpretation of Matthew 2:1-11. Of course, I can offer no tangible evidence that this hypothesis is absolutely correct. This was a unique, miraculous event. God employed unique, miraculous means to bring it about, and Scripture is a necessary and sufficient source of understanding of the means. Preachers and teachers of God's Word can take heart in knowing that they now can offer a biblically based, fully consistent description of the nature and behavior of the Star of Bethlehem without feeling inadequate in astronomical matters or, in fact, relying on them at all. Thank you for listening to another episode from the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast, which provides audio articles of Christian Research Journal articles. If you go to equip.org, you will find a brand new article for the Christian Research Journal published weekly. In addition, please subscribe to our other podcasts. Wherever you find your favorite podcasts, you will find the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast, the Postmodern Realities podcast, which features interviews with Christian Research Journal authors, our flagship podcast, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and the Hank Unplugged podcast, where CRI President Hank Hanegraaff takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in in-depth, free-flowing, essential Christian conversations on critical issues with some of the most interesting and informative people on the planet. At equip.org, you will also find a lot of resources to equip you, including many thousands of Christian Research Journal articles. That's EQUIP.org.